Good morning. My name is Willie De La Cruz. I've been coming to Harvest for about 6.5 years now, and I'm still here. Pastor Tom has not kicked me out yet, so he must like me. this Harvest Chapel. From this Harvest Chapel, we have Williamsport Harvest Chapel, we had Logansport Harvest Chapel, and we have Frankfort Harvest Chapel, and those three churches came out of this church. So we are an Acts 2:42 church, and we're about the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, and Acts 1:8, about witness. And the witness is to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So our Jerusalem is Wabas Avenue. We're here. And my prayer is that we're going to actually be meeting at Wabas Avenue someday. And Samaria, our Samaria, I call it West Lafayette because I call myself the Samaritan because I live there. And then the ends of the earth, that's where Pastor Ram comes from. But before he went there, he actually lived in America for about 16 years. So for 16 years, he lived the quote-unquote American dream. But the Lord has called him to go back to the Philippines. And so now he's pastoring a church called Calvary Chapel, Baguio. And Baguio City is a beautiful city. It's up in the mountains. It's called the summer capital of the Philippines. And Pastor Tom and Joe, when we went there, we weren't expecting to meet him. We were going to meet with the Calvary Chapel Manila pastor, Pastor Lito. But he brought with him two other pastors. And so the six of us, we just went walk the streets of my old hometown. That was the streets that I walked when I was a youngster. And we prayed for people, ministered to people. And that's all we did, pray and share the gospel. Prayed for the sick. And they played music. Pastor Tom and Joe had a concert there. And we were there alongside with them, Pastor Ram and the two other pastors sharing the gospel. So Pastor Ram actually came out of Calvary Chapel, Spring Valley in Las Vegas, where he spent 16 years of his life there. And then God called him to go to the Philippines and become a pastor there. But his heart really is raising men to become pastors. And so how he fits into the picture with us here at Harvest Chapel is he's actually going to be out of his, the people that he trained will be the pastor for the church that we're going to plant there. So we're hoping to have a Harvest Chapel in Isabela, where my province is from. But we're going to start not in my hometown, but in a bigger city called Ilagan, Isabela, which is the capital city. It's a big city, very strategic for us to go into the smaller cities. So that's the vision. And Pastor Ram's heart is to teach others how to teach the Bible inductively. Kind of, you know, what like Pastor Tom does. And that's what he does. He's been traveling in the U.S., actually. He has been to Arkansas, Las Vegas, and some other places to teach inductive Bible study, how to study the Word of God inductively, chapter by chapter, sentence by paragraph by paragraph, sentence by sentence, word for word. That's how we do it here as well. And that is his heart. And Pastor Ram, why don't you take it away? Thank you.
Good morning. Actually, my full name is Ramesses, like the Pharaoh in Egypt, but not the Pharaoh in the Ten Commandments movie. He was a bad guy there. Biblically speaking, during the time of Moses, Ramses is already a place and not a person. But good morning to you all. I do appreciate for allowing me to share the word today, especially Pastor Tom and the board. Yesterday we had a dinner at Brother Willie's place. And here comes the board. I felt like the Lord coming into Jerusalem. They interrogated my doctrine and everything before I'll be able to share the word to you. But anyways, that's a joke. I've been with Calvary Chapel since 1984. It's our dream, at least for us Filipinos, and I know many other people outside United States to come here in the U.S. And there you go. My mom petitioned us to come over, and 1984 we migrated here. You know, we live here, where I live here, until the Lord called us back, and until the Lord calling us back to the Philippines to do a mission. And I have no regret whatsoever since we went to the mission. Actually, 4 years ago, my wife passed away. I mean, at least she left while we are active in the ministry. I like that. I think I salute her. And when you go to the mission, anything can happen. I think the Lord is teaching me that if you commit to follow Him, to serve Him, to live your life for Him, then you have no condition. Your life belongs to Him in everything. But this morning, I do also want to thank the worship team. I really felt I'm in a Calvary Chapel fellowship. Thank you. I started my ministry leading a worship. At times, I visit some Calvary Chapels nowadays. I feel like I'm left behind. It's like they're too modern. But I really enjoyed. I really felt the spirit as we worship earlier. With that, I do want us to look into the book of Mark, chapter 6. Are you ready for Bible study?
Yes.
Mark, chapter 6. Maybe I can do. I can share a little bit more of what is happening in the Philippines and the connection of this fellowship to us along the message. Let's look at this account in beginning verse 30, when the Lord fed the 6,000 men. Of course, not including the women and the children. And also, if we still have time, let's look at the next segment, which is Jesus walking on the water. Are you there with me?
Yes.
We thank you, O God, for this time. We will look into your word, prepare our hearts. May you minister to us, Lord, to the many points of this message that you are about to communicate to us. Yes, we thank you for bringing us all here. This is the best place we can ever be for your spirit will minister to us through your word. We thank you, O God, and may you prepare our hearts even this time. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let me read first the segment, and then we'll go back verse by verse. Actually, another thing I want to share is I meet a lot of missionaries that come to the Philippines. But somehow, it's different when I met Pastor Tom and group, and the group, Pastor Joe, Brother Willie. Somehow, it attracts me to, hey, why don't you connect with them? But as a missionary also in the Philippines, sometimes there are these missionaries that come to the Philippines and they have all the things they have in mind and even to the point that all the things that say the American ways of doing ministry in the Philippines, I try to stay away from that. And I've sensed from Pastor Tom and the group that you are led by the Spirit. And I'm really blessed to hear many statements, lines from Pastor Tom that he is really balanced as far as listening to the Spirit or, you know, just being disorderly, as he again mentioned this morning. And right now, I do want to meet you and thank you for trusting me, Pastor Tom, to share the word today. I know you only do this once a week, and hopefully the Lord will use me to convey the message. But there may be a partnership between this fellowship and what we are doing in the Philippines. As Brother Willie said, my assistant right now, my current assistant, is the one more likely to be the one that will pastor the church that eventually will be your Judea. Your uttermost part, because it will he will shepherd, he will pastor that church in Isabela. I'm sure you've been hearing about that place in the Philippines. But let's pray. Pray about it. I do not know how the Lord will use this fellowship with the leadership of Pastor Tom and everything. I believe there is something more of this. I have many places actually to go here in the U.S. I came here August the 2nd, and I've been going around, and this is a one stop that I'm not sure what I am doing here. Actually, I have 2 days here in your place, and I will spend time with my siblings in Dayton, Ohio, starting tomorrow. And the last time I spent time with them, at least 2-3 years, and I will only have 2 days with them. So pray. I believe there is something that your fellowship and people in the Philippines can work together. That's something I want to share earlier. Anyways, in verse 30, it says, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while.' So there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late.' When they sent them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?' But he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups in green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in 50s. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all, so they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men." Here, we can see the first part of this segment. It says, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." The context of this is verse 7 of the same chapter. Remember when the Lord sent the disciples to do a short mission, now coming back, reporting to the Lord Jesus. I believe every day of our life, we are sent. If you are a Christian, I'm talking to the born-again people. Every day, we are sent to do something for Him. And then when we are in our prayer, this is something to report to the Lord. What we have done, what we demonstrate to the people or to your friends, and what we have communicated to them constantly. Right here, it is a short mission trip that the Lord gave the disciples to do. And this is the context that as they came back, reporting to Him, in verse 31, and He said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. Also here we can see that, yes, you're coming from a mission, like when a group of you go to other countries like Philippines, you come back, of course, there will be a time that you should rest. Yes? Sometimes we forget to rest. The Lord here, He wants to give them time because for their being occupied, they don't even have time to eat. At times, for us, especially for us ministers, we tend to overwork. We tend to do so many things even if it's time to rest. And it's also a temptation to kind of claim the credit, kind of claim the glory because we're overworking. But simply, the Lord is calling us to do our part. There should be a balance. There are those who are not doing anything, but there are those who are overworking. I think the Lord wants us to place ourselves in the balance where, sure, let's get involved, but don't overwork to the point that you neglect, or we neglect. Let me include myself. This is Calvary Chapel. We neglect to do our part. We neglect to rest. We neglect to pray and to meditate upon what He is doing to the ministry, to the people, and even to us. In short, God cares for us, especially for those that He used for the glory of His name. But the multitude, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat, so they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw them departing. Of course, it's a lake, it's a big lake. So as they were leaving, and many knew Him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to Him. What it is, it's a big lake. So as they were going to the one side of the lake, people ran. And they actually arrived there even before Jesus' boat and His disciples arrived. That's what He's saying here. They arrived before them and came together to Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So He began to teach them many things. I think we just read what triggers the miracle here. What triggers the miracle is the compassion of our Lord Jesus to these people. What is it? These people's condition. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I heard that, don't get me wrong, I don't want to use this in a negative way. Someone, actually it is a preacher, it's a Calvary Chapel. He said, sometimes sheep are the dumbest animal you can ever find. And if they don't have any leader, the sheep that is leading the group, If there's no one leading them, even a tumbleweed, the sheep will follow that. I wonder, how do you see the people around us today? I wonder, do they really are they really living their life according to how the Lord wants us to realize what this life is all about? I think if the Lord saw these people without any direction, without anyone guiding them, His compassion moved into an action. But what He needed to do is to teach them, to let them know what is the kingdom of God. And yet He also knew that by telling them, it will take time, and He also know that they are in a deserted place, and the Lord focused into teaching them. I have to focus in teaching them. I have to meet what they need right now, and they need to hear the kingdom of God. They need to hear the gospel. And if it takes a miracle to accomplish that, it will happen. Because now these days we see many miracles, even on television, by all these tele-evangelists, all kinds of silly, and at times they're not even true. They're not genuine miracles, because they're miracles to gain more, to be more, up there, to be more successful. And they ask the Lord for a miracle. But what has that got to do with the glory and the kingdom of God? What has it got to do with the lost souls that you can actually bring into the kingdom of God? Sometimes, nothing at all. But here, the Lord Jesus identified the need. And the need is someone has to guide and tell them about the kingdom of God. I believe if we are Christians, I'm talking to the Christians, that if we have the same compassion as our Lord Jesus Christ, I think we should start pursuing that. And yet we will realize what we need, what is lacking. Like here, the Lord knew already that there... I don't believe that the Lord Jesus didn't know how many loaves and how many fish were there at that time. He knew it already. Let me make the point once we get to that verse. But are you following me? Are you with me? So He began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, His disciples came to Him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late." Well, the good thing is the disciples identified the problem and presented it to the Lord. They said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late." Is that a legitimate concern? Do you think? I believe that is a legitimate concern. That is the situation. Good. The disciples identified it. But the problem is they also will tell Him how to solve the problem. That's the problem. It's good they identified the problem. They presented it to the Lord. But the problem is now they're telling the Lord how to solve that. How many times do we do that? I think we can learn here. Let's identify the problem and then wait to what the Lord has to say about that. And not only that, we will also see here, usually we give Him something, we propose, we tell Him a solution that actually detach us from the solution. Lord, why don't you do this? Or instead, we present to Him the problem, and then we wait upon Him. The next thing you know is, actually, I want you to volunteer to the solution I have in mind. Then you say, "What is that, Lord? What is that you want me to do?" Instead of, "Lord, I identify this problem, and you should do it that way, and that way, and that way. As long as I'm not part of that, you do it that way." This is actually what the disciples did to Him. He goes, when the day was now far spent, verse 35, His disciples came to Him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away." Verse 36, "Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Did you see that? They have a solution for the problem. If the people will go away, if the Lord Jesus say, all right, it's over, the Bible study is over, go home now, right? So they start to depart, the disciples will go, okay, now we can sit down, right? So they don't have anything to do. But the Lord has something else in mind. He has something else in mind. Think about it. I think this is the part where if you are truly a Christian, look around you. Look around you. Many people have more difficult and more serious problem than you are. But the more you look at yourself, the more you focus to yourself, is all you see is yourself. If you are a Christian, the Lord can solve and take care of your life as you are doing, getting involved in taking care of the ministry, or getting involved in things that also take care of other people. It's not, Lord, fix me first, 100%, and then I will go. What else to do after He fixed you 100%? You may be lacking right now, but get involved. The next thing you know, you're becoming complete as you are doing and serving your God. It says, send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages, buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. How convenient. But He answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. You know, when I first dived into this text, when I realized this statement and this command from the Lord, you give them something to eat, it's as good as the Lord telling us, I am. You read it again. You give them something to eat. It means this is my solution for this situation. It's not you cannot change this. It's either it will come from you, or it will come from me. It's either from natural way or from supernatural way. I think the visit of Pastor Tom and the group in the Philippines is this. This is what I see. I've been telling Pastor Tom, Brother Willie, and the board last night, the need in the Philippines. The need in the Philippines is to equip leaders. That's the need. I know the Lord already released the statement, give them something to eat. But we're not talking about bread, we're not talking about money. We're talking about this is how it will be done. But now the question is, will it come from you? Will it come from this fellowship? Or will it come from other fellowships? Will it come from other churches? But either way, it's either it will come from here or it will come from elsewhere. When the Lord said, give them something to eat, it will happen. I think the best thing I can do, if the Lord said, give them something to eat, Lord, what is that you want me to do? Well, how many loaves do you have? I have 5 loaves, Lord. You know that this is not enough. All right, this is what you will do. Then I will start to hear the instruction from there. It is not, oh, that's not my part. Oh, let's not get involved in that and get involved in that. But instead, what is that, Lord, that you want me to do? And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii, which is actually the plural of denarius, worth of bread, and give them something to eat? It's our day wage. Denarius is a day wage. Like today, I don't know what's the minimum wage here in Indiana, but we have a different wage in the Philippines. Actually, we have, what is it, more or less $4 or $5 a day in the Philippines. But in the Philippines, you can buy a lot of bread. You can buy pandesal. If you know pandesal, it's a very popular bread. But here in America, I don't know, what's your day wage? $80? $100? Then you times that into 200 and buy bread to feed all these people. So that's how much it takes. For the disciples, he said, you're asking us something impossible. But didn't I say already? Give them something to eat. That's what it means to take care of this situation. But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." You think the Lord Jesus did not know how many? He knew. He knew exactly. But why did he ask the disciples how many loaves? It's for the disciples to see how much is lacking. How much is lacking? I heard a preacher that mentioned, if we will only do things that we can handle, then where is the room of God to come and join your project? Only the things that we can handle. But if you start something that it's beyond to your capacity, then you're creating a room for God to come and take part of whatever you are doing, especially when it comes to the ministry, reaching out to the lost. He said, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups or in green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in 50s. You think people are hungry at this time? I believe so. I think they are hungry already, because they're out there and they asked them to sit down. I saw a clip when the tsunami hit Japan. And there is a commendation to the Japanese people. Because they were hungry, they have no food, and there is this few groceries, places that they opened their store, and the next thing you know, Japanese were lining up. And they see the order there. Even though there is a need, even though the food supply is becoming scarce, and yet they were able to line up. I think that is a good commendation for them. I think here also we can see that even though they are hungry, even though there is something the Lord is about to do, they were able to group themselves in 50s, in hundreds, and everything. But for us, sometimes, I'm speaking for myself, sometimes when I have a situation, I cannot stand still. I cannot sit still. I have to do something. You know, when the Lord says, "Sit down, I'm about to do something." But I'm a typical Christian that sometimes, you know, just because the solution is not on sight, sometimes I cannot sit still. But here, the Lord is about to do. People are hungry, and he said, group them in 50s and in hundreds. I think the Lord has something, the Lord can speak to us in that way. If we truly believe and know who the Lord, whatever is our situation, He can tell you, "Sit still, and I have a solution for your situation." Sometimes we do everything except praying to the Lord. Sometimes we, you know that TV, I don't know, is that a TV program still, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Sometimes we want to call a friend. Sometimes we do all kinds of things except praying to the Lord and trusting the Lord that He will do something about with our situation. I think here we can see if we have a situation and the Lord needs to reach and help us, just trust Him. 41, and when He had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, He looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to His disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish He divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. At least for now, at this time, women cannot vote yet, because they only count the men. But the point is, they fed more than 5,000. And imagine, from 5 loaves, 2 fish, and how many left over? 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. I think 2 things we can learn here. One is, the Lord doesn't want us to waste. True is only if you commit. Your starting point, after accomplishing what the Lord wants you to do, at the end, you will have so much more than when you started. Sometimes we think when we start something, oh, it will decrease me. It will take out something from me. But here we can see that's not the way the Lord does it. Because when you start little. But after accomplishing whatever he called you and I to do, at the end, you will have so much more than when you started. Do we have time for another segment? Okay. 45, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he sent the multitude away. Now let me go verse by verse here, so I won't take too much time. Here, after the disciples, what happened to the disciples? They just came from a short mission. And now coming back, they can hardly eat. The Lord took them on a boat, and as they were traveling to one side of the lake, people followed. And then there you go again. The Lord Jesus taught them. And then the disciples, what did they do? They stand by, they assisted him, and then the Lord multiplied the bread. And now here comes the disciples, distributed the bread for 10,000 people at least. Now they're not only tired, they're exhausted. At the end, here's what the Lord said. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Look at what he did to the multitudes. To Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. You know what I see here? Two kinds of people. The disciples and the multitudes. The disciples, they're already with the Lord, they serve the Lord. And then at the end, they said, go. Because this is a command. It says, go before, it says, let me read. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. There is a command for them to go. And the boat were not a motorized boat. You know, they pedal. What do you call that? Right, they row. Yeah, they row to get the boat going. So as a disciple, I ministered already. I went to different villages, came back, reported to him. Now I'm involved again to this feeding the 5,000, and yet it's not over yet. The Lord said, go to the other side. But what happened to the multitudes? Here is the multitude. But the multitude, he sent them away. Let me read this. The multitudes, they listened, they ate, and they left. They listened, they ate the bread, and they left. But the disciples, they just came back from work, from the mission, and then they helped distribute the bread, and now the Lord is saying, go before me. We have something to do. I'm not sure if what kind of a person or group people do we belong. Do we belong in a disciple or we belong in the multitude where we are to listen, to receive, and then leave? I think that for a disciple, the Lord continues to offer that place or position for each one of us. To learn about the gospel is not to just receive and receive and receive. We know better than that. I believe, without a doubt, Pastor Tom already taught you the difference between the Sea of Galilee and the Red Sea, the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee receives water from the Jordan River and then outlet again. And then it will end up in the Dead Sea. But the Dead Sea has no outlet. It's all receive and receive and receive. But the difference is in the Sea of Galilee, you can find all kinds of living things there. In the Dead Sea, who just receive and receive, you cannot find any living things there. I hope we can see here also. The challenge is what kind of group that we want to find ourselves someday. Do we want to be a disciple or do we want to be just received from the Lord and take it and do nothing about it?
And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Do you see the importance of prayer here? This is what will trigger the miracle. Because the Lord Jesus needed to pray. For us ministers, sometimes when we do something great, we tend to say, all right, now I can rest without even praying to the Lord. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites were into invading Canaan, after Jericho, Jericho is a one big city, walled city. And then they defeated them, and now to the next people were actually the Ai, the place Ai. The Ai, they lost because immediately they invade without even asking the Lord. They've just been in this great victory, invading Jericho. Ai, that's nothing. Let's just go for it, and they were defeated. I believe here the Lord Jesus just fed 5,000 people. After that, he still finds himself bowing, humbling before the Father because he needed to do that. Even if it takes another miracle, but he needed to do that. I think the Lord is teaching us the importance of prayer here. We don't only pray when we are desperate. We do not only pray when we have needs, but we should pray when the victory is there. We should pray when successes just happen. Something beautiful just happened. Sure, we can group our friends, but we should find time praying to the Lord, appreciating and thanking Him, because we can find Him doing exactly that here. Now, when the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and He was alone on the land. Then He saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. What I see here is the Lord was on the land, and it's already night, and he sees the disciples rowing. What I see here, distance doesn't matter to God. He is in the third heaven. If you are doing exactly what he commanded you to do, he sees exactly where you are. He sees your difficulty. He sees our hardship if we are obeying what he commanded us to do. Two kinds of tribulation or hardship. One is we could face a hardship today because due or outcome of our careless acts or decision in our life or even disobedience. But one is we can be in a hardship today due to our obedience to God. At times we tend to we are afraid to obey because we hear people who obey God, they experience hardship, tribulations, persecution. But the good thing about here is the Lord sees that. So if our hardship is due to our obedience and command of God, then let me encourage you that He sees it and He's on His way to do something about it. I hope I'm talking to my brothers and Christians who are brothers and sisters who are into obeying the Word of God. But if you are into finding a good life, comfortable and convenient, then think about it first before you really get into becoming a disciple of the Lord. Now about the fourth watch of the night. He came to them walking on the sea. Let me finish up to 52. And would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Actually, I took note one of our lines with the songs that we just sang. Your ways are perfect. Your ways are perfect. I think that really spoke to me. The Lord wants His ways to be implemented to each and everyone's to each and every one of us. And His ways are perfect. When the Lord Jesus was drawing near, He said, "Be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid." Let me talk to you or to those who are into obeying and serving the Lord, you and I will experience hardship and tribulation in this life just because we are obeying His instructions and commandments. But as we do that, we will see, am I going to commit even further, or it's time to back off? I think the Lord is telling us here, it is I, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. What God has in mind to get us out of that situation may appear scary at one point. But if we will let Him, He says, do not be afraid. For He knows exactly where you and I, He knows exactly what to do and reach for you and for me. Yeshua, or God, is in doing all kinds of good things to each and every one of us. We just need to trust Him, because that is His intention. He said, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Last point here is, when the disciples were rowing, He commanded them to go to the other side. And now they're having a hard time rowing, yes? Isn't that the picture when we obey the Lord, when we live a true Christian life, we will find hardship to the people that we work with, our classmates that do not know the Lord, and all the people that you can, your friends. It will become hard when we truly obey the Lord. But He said, go before me. That means there is one or two or who knows how many people that the Lord wants to reach, to those people that you and I are, daily we are meeting and, you know what I mean? Like if you are in a school and you know you are a Christian and they know you are a Christian and they give you a hard time, they call you name or something, you're a Jesus fanatic. Or maybe at workplace, stuff like that. The Lord sent you there ahead of Him. Because the day will come, the time will come, that they will need the Lord. We have to do our part before the Lord, because He says, go. But in the meantime, we experience this hardship as we row, as we go to the side, as we pursue a life where He commanded us to do. Isn't it? That's where the disciples are here. Now, if I'm rowing the boat, and then I saw the Lord, He almost passed me. It says, He almost passed them, right? Now, the Lord coming back. Well, wait a minute, we've been rowing this. It's 3 in the morning. And it's between 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning, because it says fourth watch. Now, the Lord coming back, I can easily say, Lord, wait a minute, this is already hard. Go ahead, we'll meet you there, right? Would you say that? It's already heavy, it's already hard. We're going against the wind. And then we identify the Lord. You go ahead. But the Lord wants to get on the boat. But what happened the moment He got into the boat? All of a sudden, the boat reached the shore. That's the last testing, I think, for you and I. Sometimes you and I will have a situation. And then now it's just a matter of, will you trust me now? You've been hearing the message for many, many times. But every time you get into that situation, what is lacking is, will you trust me? Will you let me get on board? Remember what happened to, is that Elijah or Elisha? When, I think Elijah, that he said, give me something to eat. And this widow and her son, he said, you don't understand. This is the last meal. After this, we will cook it, we will eat it, we will die. Why don't you feed me first? And then, sure enough, she gave the prophet something to eat. What happened to that? What happened to that container that she has? It became full, and she's been cooking. I don't know how did that happen, but it's the work of the Lord. That's how the Lord wants to test us. would you let him get on board? I know you and I are going through some kind of a situation, problem maybe, some of us minor, some of us really major, but the question is, can I really trust the Lord to get on board? Why don't you try him? Why don't we try him? Because once we say, Lord, I have no more other solution in mind, will you get on board? But it will appear to you and I, it will be kind of scary. How can I trust the Lord with this? You know, he never had a girlfriend in his life. He doesn't understand this, etc. Trust him. Let him get on board in your situation. The next thing you know, it will be well. Because that's what the story tells us here. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. That's another miracle. And they were greatly amazed in themselves, beyond measure, and marveled. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. That's where we started. They knew exactly they only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the next thing you know, you are the very witness of this. So the moment they distributed the 5 loaves and 2 fish, they were able to feed 10,000 people at least. But what happened to their heart? What they witnessed did not sink in them, because their hearts were hard. So now the next miracle, they saw the Lord walking on the water. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. I believe what the Lord is telling us here is, I don't know how many times the Lord rescued us from our situation and from our problem. Did he ever help you? I believe so. Many, many, many times. But how come this time I cannot trust him? The same way that I experienced and knew that he helped me in the past. I hope our heart will not be as hard as the disciples at this point. Of course, they don't know the Lord well as we know him, because up here they're still in the process of in the ministry. Eventually the Lord will die, the Lord will resurrect, but we all know that. The disciples do not know that yet. That's why their heart, as it says here, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. If our heart is ready to receive the Lord, the message, and if we are ready to trust the Lord, I believe we will always expect the Lord to take part in whatever situation we face in this life. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for speaking to us. Even from this account of you feeding the 10,000 at least people, we thank you for showing us that you care for those who love you, who serve you, for you always want to find time for us to rest. We thank you, O God, for teaching us from the acts of the disciples, that we should not tell you the solution to the problem that we present to you. Instead, you know exactly where we are. Teach us how to wait. Teach us how to listen. We thank you for that compassion you have for the lost. May you give that same compassion, O God. And not just compassion alone. A true compassion will lead us to doing something about it. And Lord, we thank you. We want to be your disciples. Because as a disciple, we will always be on standby to what you will tell us on what to do. We also want to thank you for the challenge, O God, that in your involvement in our lives, it takes trust to fully appreciate you. Thank you, for your ways are perfect. Only if we will trust you completely, our lives will be according to your perfect ways and perfect will. We bless your name, and we pray all these things in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus, Ibn Yeshua. Amen. God bless you.